Rachel. She's sweet. There's a lot of Rachels in the body of Christ. But this is our baby. I had a phone call yesterday, and it was a sweet surprise. David Crowley is going to come and share with us this morning.
Yay.
So, come on.
I have that thing, so. don't know what all I'm going to say. Might not say much, so. Thought I'd be nervous, but I'm really not.
You're among friends.
Right. So I thought, well, if I mess up, it's God's fault. I'm thinking, you know, he must have a sense of humor because of all things, I do not like to get up in front of people or be the center of attention. So really just thought I might share my testimony from who I am, maybe tell y'all a little bit who I am, and probably be about it. Do what? Yeah. Okay. So, hope you have an edit on this thing.
Yes, I'll amp it up.
Edit.
Yes, to edit me if I say bad words.
I might. Anyway, it is getting a little hot in here.
That thing is
right, buddy. I was raised up in a Baptist home. My dad was a Baptist preacher from since I was about that big. So, went to church until I was about 18 or 19, around there when Trish and I got married. And I didn't like going, so I thought, I've had enough of this. And really didn't like the religious feeling that you get, just kind of like, you know, which I wasn't saved or whatever, and didn't have my coming to Jesus moment. And I didn't like it. I'd go in there and I'd feel that feeling. I just want to run. I didn't like it. So it wasn't necessarily conviction. I think it was more just you felt guilty or whatever, people judging you. So I didn't like it, and I didn't want to go back. Went on special occasions. And so later on we had kids, and Trish was like, we really need to go to church for our boys. You know, and they're getting up. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to, but okay. So we start going to church. I think it was called New Life at that point, but we started going to church, and I'd went and talked with the pastor and stuff, and I'd have dreams about, you know, getting saved. It was just eating me up, but I just thought, well, it's never going to happen to me. And so we went and talked with him, and he's like, well, God's not done with you yet. You're still here. So anyway, went there for a while. Me and Trish went out for a birthday one night, and it was, I think, 2008, and we were out back. We'd had plans to go to Oak Ridge, and the plans got messed up. Can't remember, something to do with the kids, and so we ended up at Outback instead of going to Knoxville, which was our plan. And I think it was just God in the works, because we would get there, and there's the guy that we know, and he comes over and sits with us, and I'm like, I wish this guy leave us alone. You know, it's my wife's birthday, you know. So he's hanging out with us forever. And I get up, go to the bathroom, and I come back. And this guy's a Christian guy, you know, because of church stuff. But, I mean, like every other word that comes out of his mouth is a cuss word. And he's just rough, you know. But God used him that night, because I got up and went to the bathroom, come back, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden the conversation just changed, and I don't even remember what he said, but I remember him holding out his hand to me, and he said something about, you know, all you have to do is accept him or whatever. And so when I grabbed his hand, it was just like fire flew.
Oh, Lord.
So y'all don't appreciate this. Most people I don't tell this to, but I actually left my body and was sucked up into the light, and I was looking down at us three sitting at that table.
Right.
And I thought, wow, really didn't even know what to call it or anything else at that point. But that's what happened. So of course, being the doubter that I was, I told people I got saved, but I doubted it forever and ever and ever. And I was like, Trish, there has to be more to this God thing than this. I thought everything's supposed to be all roses. So, you know, this ain't what I signed up for. So I guess must have went through the class at the church to become a new member or something. That's where we met John and Suzanne. So, and then it was all uphill or downhill from there, whichever way you want to put it. But ended up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know, God's called me, you know, and I know that. And I thought I'd get up here maybe just stretch my wings a little bit or something, practice on you guys. And I guess that's about it for now. But basically that's kind of brought you up to somewhat current.
You got pretty wings.
I love you guys, and y'all are very beautiful people. And my beautiful wife sitting back there. I love her.
You're safe here.
Yeah.
There's two of these. So.
I'm going to move the board to the side.
Please. I need it, each person to take one that wants one. This one too. I'm just giving those to you and pass them back. Thank you, John. This is where our sun and moon is, so to speak. For 2,000 years, whether we like it or not, we're in the tribe of Reuben. Aquarius is the sign. So it really would be a smart thing for each of us to study Reuben's natural life, and then understand his prophecy of where he's going, because that affects us for the next 2,000 years. So to get an understanding would be good of his nature, the good and the bad things. Our sun right now is in Libra. That is the priesthood tribe, which is the tribe of Levi. And it's the balancer. And we have a new moon in Libra, which brings renewed thought and all that, and a great balance. So we're in a good place, spiritually speaking. In the teaching today, I want to try and redeem Dan. I guess I better put up my hickey-doo. I shared on this last week. This is the northern camp, and it is the tribe of Dan was the leader, and it has to do with our mind or the intellect, the brain. John says the brain's just an engine. It's what you put in it. It's what comes out. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Anyway, he was supposed to have taken the serpent, but he chose the eagle, which speaks of high-mindedness. Also in this northern tribe is the tribe of Naphtali, and the tribe of Asher. Naphtali means to wrestle, but Naphtali also bringeth forth goodly words or goodly pearls. So you can go to the bank with what he says. And Asher, of course, means prosperity and happiness and good things. Dan doesn't mean that. So let me read that real quick. We'll go back over it. Find my early thoughts. It means to judge, pronounce sentence, to govern, to litigate, plead, rule, or it could mean to bring correction. If we use it after a spiritual mind, it's a beautiful thing. And so I wasn't going to go much further with Dan until we went upstairs last weekend, and John said something about, what about Dan's redemption? And I thought, oh yeah, that. That was a big question. Anyway, in the teaching last week, we were left with Rachel's idea or perspective of Dan. She spoke into being what he would be, what she saw. Of course, remember, she's not real long-sighted because she named Benjamin and said, he's going to be son of my sorrow. And Jacob corrected her, and he said, oh, no, that's not going to happen. He's going to be the son of my right hand. So that was a good thing. But then in Dan's prophecy, Jacob said some things that I want us to deal with. And so that means we'll have to go through like a metamorphosis for this to take on the flavor that it, to make a change, a transfer. Like we're all doing, we're all going through things, we're changing. Metamorphosis is not Willie Nelson singing Whiskey River Take My Mind either. That's not what we're after. Terry, be quiet. She said that would be nice. Okay. Rather, it means repent, to descend or bring down. And then we have the fact that we are a house, each one of us get to choose our own journey. I feel like we really need to get a hold of that. And what I keep hearing everybody saying that has any authority right now is we need to know ourselves. Mm-hmm. Learn to know ourselves. We don't have time to be a busybody in somebody else's self because we don't even know who we are completely yet. I remember another country song that I thought was so cute. I think Billy Ray Cyrus sang it. I don't know where I'm going to live when I get home because he had been so ugly. So sometimes we need to make our own house home, what we are. So I got to looking at the four winds of doctrine, and I thought, no wonder we're teaching on the winds right now are on the four directions of the camp of Israel because it is pertinent to us constantly. We dealt with the ox, that camp, for a couple of weeks, having to do with willpower. Can you imagine the doctrines that have blown from that wind, western wind? Lots of doctrine. And, of course, what we're teaching now, the camp of mentalities, all kinds of winds of doctrine coming out of our mentalities and all of our various raisings, so to speak. I gave y'all a handout because I want to show you how he gets redeemed. Stay up there. Okay. We see our birthing order here. exactly how each was birthed and what their constellation is and represents. Notice Dan is the constellation of Scorpion. So there's a sting with that. It's not the prettiest sign. His planet is Pluto. So it has to do with darkness and adversarial conditions. But if we look over into the Revelation, we see the destiny order where these are going to wind up, so to speak. So, and I put them exactly like they are in the scripture, each of these, so that you could see the progression, because it changes. For instance, Judas first, as always, except in the birthing order, he was not first. God made him first. Then Reuben, instead of being the head of the second camp, he's in second place. And this is, there's reasons for this. If we send Judah first, that's the emotion of love that is inworked in us. It's not just something you can dredge up. It has to be part of you. It has to be a reality within you. So it's not, sometimes it's not easy to come by. You have to stop and think, now, is this that love that puts God first and helps the person the most? Or is it my ego? We have to deal with that one. And Reuben, we know, had trouble with his ego. Gad is third. And you notice, this is from the eastern camp, and both of these are from the southern camp, because Gad gets you the victory. It's determined to win. It's Aries, first in the zodiac. And then Asher, of course, keeps you happy, joyful. Naphtali puts it in your feet by wrestling with it. Got to be reasonable. You got to bring this down to home, is what that means. And Manassas is so beautiful. It means causing to forget. When we can come to the place when we can forget our personal experiences of pain or woundedness, and throw, just forget that and just move on out of that. And some people never do. They live, there's some people I talk to and they're living in pain from 40 years ago, mad at somebody 40 years ago. And I'm going, good grief. That is a thing around your neck holding you down, drowning you. Forget that. Just take responsibility that you can be happy today, and that's done. So Manassas makes us forget. It's like, I heard a preacher say one time, when God saved him, and it was like he poured a bucket of hot honey down his back. And I thought, I like that hot honey thing. I'm going to use that. All right. Simeon is one who hears. We'll notice that Levi is the one that takes the place of Dan. And the reason I feel that Dan graduates or metamorphoses into Levi is he dwelt so much on this side of the camp. This is where Dan lived. And I know I've got this hickey on and they can't see, but I'm showing the tabernacle camp. This is Dan's camp right here. And the Levites camped inside of here. They covered, they were the meat in between. They didn't have a camp of their own, but they were the priest. So Dan is always looking through the priest's eyes to the southern side of the camp, which is a beautiful thing, because looking through the priest's eyes brings the softness. The poor priest catches it from both sides. It's like a sandwich. If the priest is in here and all these tribes are out here, then he's like the meat inside the sandwich that gets chewed on all the time. So that's, if you've ever felt like that, you're in the middle of something, it is because you are in the middle of something and you're being chewed on and being used. It can be a beautiful thing. Anyway, so Dan metamorphoses, I think I can prove it with scripture, into Levi. So I gave you something you could go by there and compare quickly. Issachar is a strong ass bowing between two burdens. To me, that, of course, that is Cancer, and that means the person that's able to accept humanity and spirituality, knowing we're both. It's important that we understand that we're both, not just one of those things. And then Joseph is fruitful, and Benjamin gets us the victory. Now, let's see. I want to go over here.
Did you purposefully skip Zebulon?
I must have. If I didn't say it, I did. A Zebulon means dwelling with God. That is Virgo. Okay. Or read some scripture, and you can ask questions or whatever. Anyway, the four winds affect us all the time, and that's one of the things I want to get at. But let's look at Ephesians 4 and 14. My hand's too full of stuff. That's why it's always falling. Says that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. So that tells me there's plenty of winds of doctrines coming from all sides of the camp, according to what sign we are and how we live. If I don't have the camp up, do I? Well, yeah, here, what use is? This will show you. Fall on the floor, me. Do it. Nobody listening thinks I'm an idiot.
Stand up straight.
Oh, for the love of me. Okay. Anyway, if you can see where your tribe is, okay, let's use Trish. She's Pisces. She camps right here on the southern side of the camp. And she is constantly facing Naphtali, which is the power of reasoning. He's an earth sign, and she's a water sign. So she's facing this all of the time, and these other things in the northern camp, and dealing with mentalities also. And Johnny is facing Pisces, which has to do with dualistic hearing. So it's kind of important to see where you are. Now the Libras are in here facing it all. If you're a Libra, your house is the seventh house, and your purpose is marriage and partnership to bring a oneness. That's what a Libra wants, is balance. It is. Susan's looking at me. But they bring balance. Okay, let's see. Morgan is Issachar. So he is facing Gemini. He's a water. No, you water sign? Right. He's water. And Gemini is air. They don't communicate too well sometimes.
So what you're saying about facing something means that you're constantly having to deal with it.
You're looking at it all the time.
Yeah.
You're looking at it all the time. It's like Johnny said, he's over here by himself. Nobody in the family's what he is. I mean, he's facing this Aries, two Aries, because Rachel and I both are Aries. And he's having to deal with a Leo from one side. He's facing a Pisces. He has a daughter, Penny's in a Pisces Aquarius cusp. And Bruce is a Libra. So those are the things he's dealing with in his house.
And my sun sign is Cancer, but my moon sign is Gemini.
Is that right? Then you two souled man, you. Because that's what Gemini is.
Well, that's a double portion because he's born two-souled.
Yes.
That's a double portion.
And my rising sign is a Sagittarius.
Oh my gosh, the fire sign. So anyway, I think it's important that you know where you live in the camp and what you're dealing with in your family every day. Frances is the only air sign in her family. All three of her family, Speed, Wendy, and Tressa, are earth signs. So that makes hard to make a connection. What?
Capricorn.
Tressa's Capricorn. Tressa's just like Johnny. She's earth.
She's Virgo.
She's Virgo.
She's the 21st of August.
Well, so she's passed.
She's
too old.
Okay.
You know what, when you said that this year about her birthday, I thought she's not a full-fledged Virgo. She's passed.
Yeah.
She's the Sphinx.
This, yeah, she ties the tail and head together. That's right. That's how it looks. But anyway, Paul says, I don't want you tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And as Speed said this morning, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by the which every joint supplies something according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I thought that was beautiful. Now turn to Revelation 7. And we know this is a symbolic book, but it says, after these things, I saw four angels. And we know there's four angels that govern the four directions. We have Michael, help me, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. Is that his name?
Yes.
The fourth one. It is. Francis Angel.
Ariel.
Ariel. Okay. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. many years ago, and this is before I knew what tall was, a preacher came to visit, and he went to pray for me, and he began to prophesy. And he was an illiterate preacher. He couldn't read. So Don Cooley told him to go home and learn to read, and then he could preach. I'll never forget. But he prayed for me, and when he did, he said, the day will come when you will speak to the four winds, and they'll stop. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And when he touched me, I just went out in the spirit. I was just gone. I thought, that's just too wonderful to bear. Whoever heard us going out here and telling this west wind to quit blowing when it's freezing me to death. But I had it natural. Okay. So the four angels are holding the four winds of the earth. That's us. That's our ability, our power to speak to a wind that blows up on our house. Mm-hmm. Things that come our way and we can say stop. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can command the wind to stop it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Have that ability. So begin to do that if you're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, the sea, or any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east. That would be Judah. This is the east. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to those four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea that had stopped the wind, saying, don't hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their thinking. How do you think? Did anybody listen to Lynn's tape yet? Oh, my God. It's a mind blower. He talks in it about our lifetime and the things that get our experiences, how they affect us. If we don't get rid of those experiences, the waste within us becomes like buffalo chips. You can use them to start any kind of fire. So, anyway, you'll get to listen to it. I'm not going to preach on that. He says, and I heard the number of them that were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the children of Israel. And I've already given you those tribes, those 12 that are sealed. Now, we know that's not a natural number because zeros are always to the next power. So we know it's a number that no man can number. Okay. I want to go to Proverbs. I'm trying to find it. Proverbs 30 and 4. Ask us a question. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Now we both all have that ability to look higher than us. And we also have the ability to look at our lower nature. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? That bless me, I thought, my goodness, to be able to reach out when a wind is blowing and say, stop. But I've seen God do it in my life. Certain things were going on. And I even said, if you don't stop, that's the end of this. Do you hear me? To certain people and things. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? So our hands are full of wind. holding the winds right and left hands full. I think that's beautiful, that ability that's able to gather that up. Okay, so we're not left with Rachel or Jacob's prophecy even, but I do like this word, and this is a Daglot. I believe the Jehovah's Witness puts this thing out, but it's a wonderful little book to give you a different view anyway. First Peter's where I want to go. I like the way this reads better than our King James. 1 Peter 4:17 says, because the season is coming for the judgment to begin from the house of God. And if it began first from us, what will the end of those who are disobedient to the glad tidings of God? What will happen to them? Don't you love that? If the righteous person scarcely be safe, that's why I'm praying for a righteous president. We need a president that will establish and stand upon God's righteous laws in our land, whichever one that is. I don't think it's the one we got, hardly, but there is a man somewhere that will do that in politics. God's got a man. And so we're going through a transition. If the righteous person scarcely be safe, where will the impious and the sinner appear? So I like that. Now let's go to the prophecy that Jacob gives Dan, because it's important for us to understand, going beyond where he goes. Genesis 49. If you're not with me, stop me. We'll talk. And 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. But we know that Dan's judgment was out of his experience and mentality on the dark side. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, okay, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels so that his rider shall fall backwards. Sounds Luciferian to me, don't it to you? But then a beautiful thing happens after he says this. After that, he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. So there's your redemptive quality for that judgmental thing that walks around in all of us and wants to judge a situation from our perspective. And we can do that, but it's like Speed said, when you don't live inside of somebody, it is not there because you ain't been where they've been. Do you hear me? We need to have compassion for people because we haven't been where they've been and they haven't been where we've been. So that's just fair. That's just giving them some room. Okay. Dan's tribe was the first tribe to commit idolatry. Easily led astray, because he didn't like where he was, I guess. The word serpent means beguiling to idolatry. In Genesis 3:13, it means to, where Eve was talking. And the Lord God said to the woman, we call this passing the buck. Right, guys? First thing he's going to say is, that woman you gave me. Right. And the woman says, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent you put in front of me beguiled me, and I did eat. Beguiling to idolatry. It means to lead astray, to send a delusion, to deceive greatly and to the uttermost. It's exactly like Leah in the scripture. Every time she had a son, she would say, "Now my husband will love me." The more I read that, the madder I got. I thought, how stupid could you be? Come on. Now my husband will love me, and she's got six sons by him. Or whatever. I mean, it just went on and on. She never come to the place, and now Jacob loves me. She was always weak-eyed. She could never see her own beauty or own her own things, so to speak. Anyway, I think I want to read this somewhere else. Okay, it says, the serpent beguiled means to cause to roam from safety, truth, and virtue. It's the divine feminine word, 4106. And it leads back to fraudulence and instability. Reuben, you're unstable as water. That's unstable. We need to hear that part. But you don't need to stay there and dwell upon that. We need to go on and find out how he gets redeemed out of that. But knowing there's an instability thing to go through if you're dwelling in with Reuben. Okay. The scripture says, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and only the few find it. I studied that word few years ago and recently. Let me read this in the Diaglot. Am I going over? Okay. We're back. Thought we left with the air. This word delusion, I want to read to us in 2 Thessalonians in the Diaglot, because I love the way it reads. It says, 2 Thessalonians 4, no, 2 and 9. No, let's start before that. So it makes sense. Paul says in the 5th verse, "Do you remember that while I was with you, I said these things to you? And now you know what restrains in order to being revealed in his own season. For the secret of the lawlessness is already working till the only one restraining for the present shall be out of the way. And then will be revealed the lawless one." We know that's not something outside of us. "Whom the Lord Jesus will consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the appearing of his presence bread." Isn't it beautiful how God does that? "Whose coming is according," this lawless one, "whose coming is according to the energy of the adversary." Don't you like that word there? Energy of the adversary. "With all power, signs, and wonders of falsehood, and with every deception of iniquity to those who are perishing because they admitted not the love of the truth in order that they might be saved." This is what I wanted to read. "And on this account, God will send to them the energy of delusion." God, help us. We must connect on that deep level with the things that are coming our way. And I mean, that's with that word written up on the tables of our understanding. And I believe every man gets there here with that, but we have to tap into it. Let me read that again because it bears reading again. And on this account, God will send them the energy of delusion to their believing the falsehood in order that all may be judged who believe not the truth but approved the iniquity. Wow. Don't you like the way that reads? Mm-hmm. How plain could it be? Okay, now I want to move on.
Well, I have something to say. I don't want to say it all morning. It has to do with the teaching.
Okay.
Confirmation. Here recently, I've been getting some thoughts to, and I don't know if I dreamed this or if I read it somewhere, but I think I dreamed it or said to me in an audible voice from God or an angel or something. You know, we always say we're only. That we should take responsibility for the choices we make.
Mm-hmm.
The choices we make come from thoughts. And he said, I want you to quit. You need to control your thoughts. Choose what you think upon.
Really? Absolutely.
And he said, I want you to take it a step further. Choose what you think upon. Annihilate it there, then you don't have to worry about the rest.
Amen.
And boy, I just got hot all over. But I think that came to me an audible in the night, I don't know, a couple nights ago. It kept bothering me for a couple of days. And when you started teaching and you taught on something about the wind, everything that you were talking about correlates with what was said.
Mm. I pray.
It's
clear. If it's not
clear.
It
starts
yes,
there.
It does.
Start here. He said it starts here.
The buck stops here.
Yeah.
Right here. You hear Rokas over and over saying, own it.
Yes.
Really? It's easier to own it and say, yeah, that's true, and get past the owning it. I love this. Jesus said, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate of destruction, and broad the way leading thither, and many who enter through it. How narrow is the gate of life? How difficult that way leading thither? And how few are they who find it? So I really looked at that word few because I had some teaching on it and done teaching on it. And this is what it means. The one that when we find a connection, a divine revelation, it always makes me feel little. It makes me want to crawl. And I usually cry. The original Greek says only the puny can find her. Don't you love it? Only the puny can find her, that bride, that is married. It means beaten small, humble, respectful, never arrogant, or usurper of authority. Great day. I looked up beaten small because that meant so much to me. Immediately my mind went to the anointing oil in Exodus 30. Everything in this scripture is such a beautiful thread. It fits everywhere, and it's a cloth, a garment that fits everybody. It'll fit us all. We just have to get into it and fit. Anyway, the 30th chapter of Exodus says, and the Lord said to Moses, 34th verse, take unto these sweet spices stacked, whatever, I never can say those words, onica, gal, something, and these sweet spices with pure frankincense, shall they be a like weight. And thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Thou shalt beat some of it extremely small. The original language says, pulverize it. Bye, honey. Have a good day.
Bye.
Love you. That means that when God is dealing with us in a situation, we take it apart, and we take it apart, and we take it apart to the very lowest level that it might become light for us. Pulverize it. Deal with it. I thought, yes, yes, yes. It is the same word that is used over in the scripture for firmament. The word for firmament says you expand it, you pound it out with your passion, that passion of the Christ within you that wants the truth to come through and live and cause us to have ground to walk upon and share with others so beautifully. Yes, you can walk in my path. I tell you, because it's clean and it's a beaten path, I beat it small for you. Some are doing this right now. You can go to the bank with that one. Yes.
To add to that, when you look at the peace offering, which is one of the sweet offerings, the peace offering represents fellowship between God and man first at the highest level, and fellowship with each other, man with one another. The highest level of the peace offering, the grain was ground, pulverized, so that there was no distinction, no distinguishing parts.
Thank you.
It also can represent the absolute crushing of Jesus to the place where there was no identity in him other than
Amen.
That of the sweet love of God.
Absolutely.
That he gave everything and became of no account himself. And that beating fine in the crushing of the grain
yes.
is then acceptable to God in us as we
Amen.
Offer our puny little selves.
Yes.
You know, and we enjoy him without lumps, without, you know, parts that are exposed that call attention to themselves.
Yes.
And now in the lower levels of the peace offering, it's not so finely ground.
Yes. Beautiful.
So we can all fellowship with him and he accepts it as our offering, but the choicest part is the completely beaten down bruise, just like in the onion
yes.
oil, where it becomes so blended that you can't distinguish one attitude, one thing in your past, one thing, nothing stands out.
Wow.
It's all beautiful to God.
It is. It is. And I have another point to make, and I've said this before. When I hear teachings, and they're highly anointed, some of them, and I mean it, but I don't feel no sweet perfume later, I'm not eating that dude. Do you hear me? I want the sweet perfume to follow. If it's God, it's going to smell good. And it's going to leave a fragrance. Dorothy said, when Johnny and I were at Barbara's, she said, I knew the bed that you slept in because I could smell you. You left a beautiful smell. Don't that make you feel good? That you can leave a clean smell. So what's the point of all that anointing if it doesn't leave a sweet smelling savor in us and behind us and around about us? God's working on us, ain't he? Anyway, to make perfume, same thing. It means to, I can't say some of these words. Cominate, C-O-M-M-I-N-A-T-E.
Cominate.
I said it right. To reduce to minute particles, pulverize, pound out with passion, expand every part by wearing, Southerners say to kids, they're going to wear you out. And Northerners always say, what does that mean? I said, well, it means we're going to tear up their rear end. That's what it means. It also means to, like you said, to crush, crumble, to make dust, and to grind. When I was a little girl, Daddy took us to where they made molasses. And they were grinding the sugar cane. If you've never seen this done, and most of you East Tennesseans probably have, they take the sugar cane and they take a jackass and grind, tie him to a mill thing, stone, and he walks round and round and round and makes that sugar cane becomes syrup, a light syrup. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, because it changes form. It doesn't even look like the sugar cane anymore, because it's changed. I wonder if I said all my little stuff. Oh, no, I didn't. Leviticus 16 and 12 talks about the offering that Sue's taught us on, and I saved that paper somewhere. And remember, one of the bulls she taught us on was the sin offering. And that's what the priest had to offer before he could minister, was the sin offering for himself. And the whole thing outside the camp, right? I was hoping to find that piece of paper. I don't know where I stuck it in here. Okay. I know I'm getting long, but I'm trying not to. Okay. When do we do this? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law. So if you didn't get it the first time, read Deuteronomy. You can put it in all your pipes and smoke it, and it'll get you there. Deuteronomy 6 and 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of your life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe it and do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. All right. And these are the words which I command you this day that shall be in thine heart. When do we do this? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Sounds like a constant thing to me. Don't you love it? I love it. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thine hand, everything you do, and frontlets between your eyes. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Can I teach it? And I thought, yeah, I can. Because George Strait brought it up to date. He said, hey, baby, write this down. Take a little note. Put it on the refrigerator door. But that's up to date, ain't it? Write it down. Frontlets. Why frontlets? Well, I looked in my fucking Wagnall, the word frontlets wasn't even in there. So I thought, well, when I can get to the computer, we'll see what's going on. A frontlet is, I can't say the Hebrew word, phylacteries, is that it?
Yes.
It was guards or watch posts for your eyes. Because, well, let me read the finish of it here. Thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land that he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things. And if you don't believe it, it's repeated in Deuteronomy 11 also. And so he brought this to mind. I'll share this and try to stop because I know I'm getting long. Numbers 22. I just don't know how much to read here because it's too much to read. I'll tell us a little story and I'll read what I have to. There was a prophet named Balaam. He was a chief Hittite. Actually, he was a medium or a spiritualist of some kind. He was not of Israel. But Moab was scared to death of Israel, so he sends for Balaam because he wants Balaam to curse Israel. Of course, Balaam ain't no good prophet to begin with. I mean, he's, you know what the false prophet is, it's always the tail. So anyway, I'll read a little. Finally, it says, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam knew he was not, God was not going to let him prophesy evil over Israel. So Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. It's like I said last Sunday. The scripture says, agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way with him. Jesus is the only one called the way. So who's out of step? It's not him. So we need to take a little stutter step or a long stride, I don't know, or maybe a running leap and get in step with Christ. Now he was riding up on his ass and his two servants with him. Listen to this, what this really says. This is funny. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside and ran out into the field. Smart. I'm telling you, I've seen people like this. I couldn't see them. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her back into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote the ass again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the jackass. And said to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee? Thou hast smitten me these three times." And Balaam said to the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said to Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, on whom thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the one that was really the jackass, Balaam. And Balaam saw the angel of the Lord. Folks, us don't be like this. That makes me sick. I love you, honey. Have a good day. Take your jackass with you.
I love you, honey.
Anyway, don't give me tickle dairy. I'm trying to behave up here. Because I can see people in this. I can see myself, my own self, doing this very thing. You know, things are not working out, so I'm trying this. Things are not working out, so I'm trying this. And somewhere, it begins to dawn. Did you know this is not working because it's not supposed to? We just have a problem with that.
Well, we need to learn how to step out of the way.
Well, I need to find me a smart jackass is what I need. That I can ride, that can see the angel before I do. The beautiful thing is we are the bride of the Father, and this is part of us making ourselves ready. Mm-hmm. Don't believe everything you hear. But let's weigh stuff. And say, where is this going in me? Is this building a building block for me and those around me? How is this affecting everything? It's important that we do that because we're God's priest. People are listening to us. And things we say is important. So it's good for us to be a good covering, a careful covering for each other. I love teaching you. I tell you, I got more, but you don't want to know. It's too much. Too much. We'll pray over the food, and I'm so glad David shared. I hope he, all of you, David in particular, we know you're called. Stand up anytime. Share a word. Whatever hits your heart, let us know. We like to eat from the different troughs, not the same trough all the time. And if you eat like hogs, they'll eat it from any trough. So.
Or anything.
Yeah, sort of. Okay, let's pronounce the blessings on the food.